Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best selling show!
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial. Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the rail.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you all are okay and doing well. Hopefully you're all a lot warmer than I am right now, so I've got the heating on in my place, and I'm still freezing fucking cold. It's October, soon November. Winter is literally, it's here. It feels like it, really does. So welcome to the show. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com, as it usually is, 9 p.m. UK time at 4 p.m. Eastern. But say the clocks change for us in the UK next week, so for UK listeners, I will be live at 8 o'clock instead of 9, but that's just for the 1 week until the clocks change in America. I think it's 1 week. And then basically it's back to normal 9 o'clock usual time. I've had a busy week. I've been playing some games, and I've been appearing on a friend of mine's radio show on his a really good podcast. But I'll play a clip of you for the shit. I'll play a clip of you. Oh, fucking cunts. I'll play a clip of that for you later. There we go. Can't even get my own words out. So you've got to listen to the whole podcast of what I'm going to explain to you in a few seconds, because it was really good and really funny. But I'll go into the usual bullshit. So if you want to email the show, you know, get in touch with us, that sort of stuff. antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You want to join a group, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Like the show on Facebook, it's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And also follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. Yeah, as usual, what I've been playing, Destiny, as usual, still got me hooked-ish, I can say. I'm still playing it as I am, and I'm having tons of fun enough, you know, enough fun to shake a stick at. I'm enjoying it still. I mean, I'm kind of bored, a little bit, slightly, because I'm sort of near the end of where I want to be with my character. I've got one piece of armor left to get, which now it's Tuesday. All the things have been reset, so I can get another 40 Vanguard. Another 40 Crucible marks to get this piece of armor that I need. Once I've got that, I will be happy, and I can change the chest piece over for this new chest piece. Get rid of the old bit. Start upgrading it. I'm about to hit level 28. And yay, goody! You know, I think it's been a weird weekend with Destiny. I mean, I had enough motes of light to get myself a random cryptograph from Zur the Vendor, but he buggered off a bit too early for me, so I didn't get that. So I have to wait till like Friday now to get a random piece. Hopefully between now and then I'll have enough strange coins to get myself a new item. Hopefully it's a good bit this week. I mean, last week was what the fuck we got last week? Some chess piece. I don't think it was like the best chess piece, but it was a chess piece anyway. Because I've got my helmet, which is exotic, and I need another bit. Because I worked out you need at least two bits of exotic armor to get to level 30. Because there's a guy on my friends list who's at 29. He's about to hit 30, but literally he's got like one piece of exotic. The rest is all legendary, like I've got, and all maxed out. Because pretty much, to be honest, all legendary stuff is the same. It's just the different, you know, if you want to have better, you know, more ammo for your scout rifle, you pick this bit of armor, or you've got an assault rifle, you pick that bit of armor. That's pretty much it. But yeah, say literally, I think you need like two pieces of exotic armor to get to level 30, and they've all got to be maxed out. And that's the tricky part, trying to do that at the moment, because it's literally, you need ascendant shards, and I mean, what I can do is literally just farm out Vanguard marks and Crucible marks to get the legendary armor. And then once I've got the legendary armor, just dismantle it and get the ascendant shards that way. And that's going to take a lot of time. I mean, most of the armor that I do have actually is maxed out. There's only like, I think, it's only like the chest piece and I think something else, some other part that I'm missing that doesn't have the ascendant shards. But so the chest piece I need to work on altogether anyway. But there's other bits as well, like, you know, my guns. I've literally got, you know, I sort of did a whole lot of sort of farming for items. I did, you know, went to Venus, got a load of spirit blooms. I did, you know, on Cosmodrome. I just literally getting as much spirit, spin metal as I can. I've got enough relic iron from Mars, which was a pain in the arse trying to find. I was literally, for one day, I was doing it for like half an hour, just riding around on my sparrow trying to find the bloody stuff, and I couldn't find it, but then, you know, I did after, you know, coming out a couple of times and just sort of going back in. And yep, there's a whole big giant load of it. Just kept leaving areas and doing it again, and, you know, finally had as much as I need, so that when I do get enough ascendant energy, I just sort of, you know, basically max out all my weapons that I do have. And then, you know, I mean, there's other stuff I want to do. I want to do like the weekly heroic strikes and stuff like that. I mean, me and Royce, a couple of weeks, I think it was like a week or so ago, we tried one of them. Oh, we got our asses kicked. But I don't know. I want to try something where I can get like some decent gear and stuff, because the whole random number generator stuff is annoying, because it's like just going into the strikes and just coming away with rare stuff. I mean, it's a pain in the ass. It's like, can I get a legendary gun or something? I mean, apart from the stuff that you can actually, you know, you have to save up 150 Crucible or Vanguard marks to get the rank 3, whatever faction you are stuff, it's a pain in the ass trying to get all this shit. I mean, I've seen several people with the Icebreaker sniper rifle. I would love that fucking sniper rifle, but I have no idea where to get it. I know I can look it up online, but I just haven't had a chance to, because I've been busy doing other bits and pieces. But yeah, I say Destiny is still keeping up my time, but I'm sort of getting a bit bored. But I mean, you know, lucky enough, October's nearly over. November, Far Cry 4, Assassin's Creed. I can't wait. I literally saw a new trailer for Assassin's Creed Unity coming out the other day, which is on the Facebook page. Go on it and give it a watch. I need these games. I need something new to play. I mean, Destiny's great and I love it. I'm just sort of, I'm Destiny'd out, really. I've done so much of it. I just sort of, I mean, when I'm doing some of the multiplayer stuff, I mean, over this past, I think, weekend, I literally had about 8 Crucible marks to get before I maxed out the 100. And I'm like, yeah, just can we just kill us all or do whatever? And you know, just give me the 2 marks. We can just lose and just be graceful. And now I can just do 2 more and then get the other marks. And it's literally, when you get to that sort of stage, it's, you just don't care. You just literally just sit there and do whatever. I mean, I have been doing actually quite well. So, I mean, it's really good. It's one of those, when I have that sort of fighting feeling, I dominate. And I actually do really well. I'm sort of, which is surprising because I'm really shit when it comes to multiplayer stuff. I mean, when I do the, like the Call of Duty stuff and other bits and pieces, I literally get my ass handed to me. But in Destiny, I'm doing actually quite well. But trust, that says a lot. If I'm doing really well in multiplayer, that means my whole team is shit. If I'm usually doing really bad in multiplayer, it means I'm trying to get bounties. You know, trying to get, you know, 50 headshots, 15 rocket launcher kills. I mean, I literally downloaded some, signed up for some new bounties because my rank 3 for, I think, Vanguard is nearly there. I just need about 1,000 more points. And Crucible needs about, I think, 1,500 more points. So rank 3 in all of them. And then I can sort of finish off the other factions, get them to rank 3, and then yeah, just a whole bunch of stuff that needs to finish off. I mean, I could create a new character. I'm thinking about it, but it's just, it's so much work now that I've, you know, a month into the game, I don't spend another month making another character, and then another month after that making another character. It's just not a waste of time. It's just too much effort. And I like my Titan. He's cool. He's a good character. I don't really know how else I'd be with someone else. It's sort of, you know, this is the character I chose and this is the character I want to be. But, you know, I mean, I think Sean and John are from Hippo Juice. They're both hunters. Royce is a Titan. You know, we're happy with our characters, I guess. But other stuff I have been playing, I got my hands on a download code for the Pokemon Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire demo. Which, yay, America just getting it now, but I mean, I pre-ordered it from Amazon, so they sent me a code the other day. I downloaded it, and I've been playing it, and yeah, it's not bad. It's literally, you get Omega Glalie if you're in Europe and the UK and Australia, I think Australia as well. I think, because there's 2 Megas, there's like Mega Glalie, which most of the world is getting, and Japan is getting a hold of Mega Steelix, which looks pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, there's loads of different rewards, but you have to go through the demo like 10 times. And lucky enough, it's so simple. It's literally it's like a tester. It's basically, yeah, they give you all the starters fully evolved and with their mega stones. And then you get your mega Glalie. And you just go around, you fight several trainers. You sort of experiment and play around with the Pokemon that you get. See what they're like in their mega forms, what these moves are like. I think 1 or 2 of them get new moves. And yeah, it's actually quite fun and enjoyable. Not much to it, to be honest. It's literally really, really simple. And, you know, you go for it like 10 times. But, I mean, it does make me wonder the whole Mega Evolution. I mean, I was never too fond of the Mega Evolutions. I use it in-game in the beginning when I first started playing my copies of X and Y. Because a bit of extra power would be great in a gym leader battle or a trainer who's really tough. But competitively, yeah, there's only so many that you actually want to use. I mean, I did count up and we're looking at 48 Mega Pokemon. And yeah, not all of them can be used competitively. I mean, and some of the ones that you can't use competitively, I'm like, what's the point of using them in-game anyway? I mean, because we're getting stuff like Mega Beedrill, Mega Pidgeot. I like Pidgeot. You know, it was literally the flying type you chose at the beginning of Red and Blue and Green and Yellow. Because, you know, it's a flying type and it can learn to fly. But a Mega version, I don't see the point because Pidgeot's already looks pretty cool and is tough enough for whatever you want to do, you know. But Mega Beedrill, never a very competitive Pokemon, I believe. I mean, I would never use it. It's the low-level Pokemon. It's the sort of one, yeah, you catch a Weedle, Kakuna, Beedrill, yep, good. And now it's a Mega Evolution. I mean, I know they're eventually going to have every single Pokemon as a Mega, which, to be honest, I don't see the point. It's like, okay, yeah, it's nice that you can do this, but stop wasting your time on this stuff. I mean, I was literally hoping that Mega Evolution would be like a gimmick, and it would be like, a sort of one generation thing, but apparently they carry it over, and I'm not too sure where they're going with the Pokemon stuff. I mean, I enjoy it. It's fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire when they do come out, because it's more Pokemon for me to play, and this gives you contest, and I think the casino's back, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that was fun in Pokemon, and from what we got with X and Y, it was okay. I mean, literally, I'm going through it again, which I'll talk about in a second. I'm not having fun with X and Y. It's not a very fun game. Mainly because I have spent so long breeding fucking Pokemon. The 5 IV ones, I spent hundreds of hours just doing that shit. It's annoying to me. I've had to stop because I just can't take it anymore. But yeah, I'm sort of going through the X version to get myself on a Zapdos with the old check mark that, whatever. And now that I have with the Ralts and the synchronized, the way you get the right, nature. I want perfect natures of the legendary birds. So I've got Moltres, which I did the other day, which I'm sort of happy about. Zapdos is next, and then I've got to go through X again to get Articuno, and then once that's done, I can sell my copy of Pokemon X, and then when we get Ruby and Sapphire, I think I've got, I've got one of them coming to me. I can transfer all my Pokemon across, and then sell my Y version, and then I can buy the either one of which I don't have for the new Pokemon games, and then catch both Kyogre or Groudon, and then get. God, this is shit. Whatever the fucking Dragon Ball Z dragon that we get in Rayquaza. And get that, and basically have that as perfect IVs. Just the usual. Trying to be the best that I can be. That sort of stuff. But yeah, I'm trying to do that and have one Pokedex. One Pokemon cartridge with perfect Pokemon and legendaries, and the fact that with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, we're getting a whole shitload of legendaries that will help me out. That way I can sort of have them all with check marks and the right abilities and natures and perfect stats in what I need would be nice, basically. Having fun with my Pokemon X, I've got a guide for it, which helps. So I'm sort of reading through where I need to go next, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that I can just skip out that's literally of no use to me whatsoever. So I'm basically sort of just going through the game, doing all the main stuff, fighting trainers just to get from here to there, to the next city, to the next gym battle, and then just keep going through the main story part. I'm not too fussed about catching the legendary Pokemon in it because I already have them. Just doing that, really. Just trying to get through it and have it all finished and done, and, I'll be happy. So I've got to do it once now, and then I've got to do it again, and it's just annoying. I mean, it's been out for a year, and I've done so much with it. It's just, I sort of overdosed on Pokemon this past year. Two new games and all that breeding. It just does a number to your psyche. But other stuff I have been doing, I say this weekend I was on the show Partial Nerdity, which you can find on iTunes if you look up Partial Nerdity. Very good show. A couple of into episode 3, which I was on, hosted by my mate Bill. So you can follow him at BC Crookie on Twitter, and his show Partial_Nerdity also on Twitter. If you want to be on the show, just give Bill a message. He'll have a chat. It's a sort of quiz QI style. Whose line is it anyway? Just a minute sort of type quiz. It's all about nerd stuff, games, TVs, movies, comics, that sort of stuff, books. It's a really, really good show. And, I said to him I'd be on it this weekend because I always had the weekend off. I'll play you a little clip in a second. But, yeah, it's really good. I mean, there's loads of different rounds. The lightning round, which is the clip I'm going to play you off, which is basically he gets a bunch of questions from exams, and it's like what the kids actually wrote to these questions. It's like obvious, not obvious, not the actual answer. It's what the kids thought of, and which I'll play you in a sec. But then there's the one called Sell It To Me, which is basically like just a minute, and we have to talk about something for a minute. I completely fucked up. You listen to me all the time as I stumble and mumble and fall about myself, and the words just fall out of my mouth and my tongue goes crazy. That pretty much happened, and I didn't do too good in that round. And there was one, Seriously, which is like, which actor was in such and such, and which actor, you know, it's all really good stuff. It's a really good show, and I do recommend you listen to it. So as I just sort of call up the, if I can just do this properly, if I call up the clip, this is sort of our lightning, me, because it was literally, it was me and this guy, Kilcale, and it was sort of boys versus girl, because there was like four of us. And basically this is us at the end of the show, basically the lightning round with us. It was literally a really fun show, a bit of a train wreck, but we just sort of laughed ourselves silly. And I will play this for you right now.
And you have 40 points.
Oh!
So Team TP, you have to get 3 points to take the game.
Okie dokie.
We can do this.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Imagine that you lived at the same time as Abraham Lincoln. What would you say to him or ask him?
Hello. Oh, go ahead. No, Ashley. Go with Ashley's.
Hello? No. I tell him not to go to a play ever. I earn money at home by... I earn money at home by...
Topless ironing.
I don't. I am a freeloader. Miranda can't see anything when she looks down her microscope. Suggest one reason why.
The lens cap is on.
The what?
The lens cap is on.
Nah. She is blind. What is love?
She's disabled. She's a cripple.
What is love? What is love? Kale, actually, what is love?
I'm trying to. What is...
Too long. Baby, too long. Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more.
I have that song.
I was trying to think of that song, but I kept thinking of Love Sucks.
To change centimeters to meters, you do what?
Turn the tape measure around.
That's what I was going to say.
One. Take out the centi. What are the 3 things you want to do in the future?
Drink, get laid, and no, Ashley.
No, you go ahead, mate.
No, that was the 3rd one.
Oh,
Ashley, what? Drink, get laid, and?
Ashley.
And Ashley. I'll give you, there we go. 1, get a girlfriend. 2, kiss her. 3, rule the world. Where have you smelled burned fat?
The gym.
Oh, I was going to say the gym as well.
At the gym. Well done.
No.
Use the word moist in a sentence.
Ew.
Can we be clean?
2 dicks made Xena moist.
Yeah, point for that one. You are moist. Student in Mrs. Levine's class have a milk box with each snack. The class has 2 snacks a day. What can you tell about students in the class?
They're fat.
They are hungry and thirsty. Name a popular queen.
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury.
Accurate.
So, at the end.
Yeah, so basically, as you can tell from that little clip, I'm not going to play you the whole thing because you need to go and listen to it. Yeah, we had a lot of fun, and say the 2 dick stuff, if you listen to the whole thing, you will understand there's a whole backstory behind that joke we made through the whole show. But yeah, I say it was a really fun show to do, and literally, go on iTunes, look up Partial Nerdity, it's on there, it's very funny. Listen to all 3 episodes, especially my one. But yeah, it was really, really fun to do it, and it's a really good show, very entertaining. You know, I thought I'd dominate. Literally, the ego of me, my ego was coming through. But yeah, we did okay. It was, you know, I didn't do as well as I thought I was going to do. But yeah, I did okay. I did good. But yeah, so I recommend it. Partial Nerdity. You know, have a listen. It's a really good show. But this brings us basically to the sort of topic for this week, which is sort of rage quitting. I'm not the biggest rage quitter, but I am pretty big at rage quitting. Not so much with, I say, because I've been thinking, because I've been playing a lot of Destiny, and I've been thinking about this sort of stuff, because a sort of preventative measures. I'm just reading through my thing here. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, rage quitting is annoying, and basically it pisses off us, the person who does it, and the people who you're playing with. I mean, I will do it occasionally when I'm doing, I mean, say with Destiny, with the bounty is one, it's like complete a stroke without dying. I was doing it this morning. I died mainly because the team I was playing with, it was the Sepix Prime Earth Strike. And basically I was on my own, and then there was someone else who was not even paying attention, and someone else who was just doing whatever the fuck they wanted. So I was like, okay, fuck it. I died, I'm out of here, and I had to go to work anyway, so it wasn't that much of a problem. But yeah, I mean, rage quitting is annoying, but I was wondering, because, I mean, when it comes to multiplayer stuff, you know, I mean, I've talked about this to a bunch of people who are playing Destiny, and it was just sort of, it's hard to justify, it's a hard thing for people to deal with, and I thought maybe that, because of what we are getting from stuff like in the multiplayer for Destiny, we're getting rewarded for failure, which I know isn't a good thing. There's several of the shows on the station who have talked about, you know, getting trophies, like, like you finish last at something and you get a trophy for finishing last. It's just giving trophies out to everything. But I mean, that sort of stuff isn't much of a problem. We all have to deal with failure and stuff, but when it comes to stuff in computer games, could we take a different angle with it? Could we be more, could we be not more understanding, but more, I don't know. It's weird, because basically what I'm saying is that when it comes to rage quitting and stuff, and what we're doing stuff like in games like Destiny, say Crucible Match, even when you lose, you still get rewarded. You get 2 Crucible marks for when you lose, which is, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, when I was playing Destiny this past weekend, because I had like 8 to go, I was like, I don't care if I win or lose. I mean, I had like 99 by the time it reset, because I couldn't be asked to play another game just for 1 mark. If I lost, I would have got 1, you know, 2, and if I'd won, I got 3. But at the end of the time, I only had 1 left to get, so what was the point of actually staying on? So I stopped. But, I mean, I like it, the fact that we are getting rewarded for losing, because, I mean, we're getting, we get like 10 points to add to our Crucible rank, and, you know, 2 marks. Whereas we win, we get 25 points and 3 marks. You know, it's not much of a difference, but we're getting something for failure, which makes me wonder about if other games did this. Would this be a good thing? Would this be a bad thing? I mean, this was, Nintendo did the easy mode for some of their games, where you could just sort of let the game play for you, which, to be honest, is a pointless exercise, because what's the point? You might as well just go on YouTube and watch it yourself, or, you know, someone do a speed run, whatever. But I wonder about this sort of stuff. It just makes me think, really. Because rage quitting goes on all the time through many different multiplayer type games, many different single player. I mean, you know, I remember sometime last year I rage at Assassin's Creed doing all the fucking chasing, which, to be honest, I hope that in Unity we don't have as much chasing to do as we did in this one, as in Black Flag, because I am tired of chasing down people. I'm an assassin. I should be like a ninja. I should be, you know, sneaking up on people and taking them down that way, not a bunch of chases after chases, and like, just mix up the gameplay. I mean, I miss Assassin's Creed 1, where you'd have to sit on a bench and eavesdrop on people. And, you know, that pretty much is a gone concept in games. I think we had to do it like once or twice in Black Flag, and that was about it. But, you know, I sort of wonder if more games did this, it'd be more fun. I mean, you know, stuff like Call of Duty or Battlefield, if, because you weren't experienced from the weapons and level up all the time, but would there be some extra incentive to stop people? I mean, that's the thing. That's why I don't rage quit and I play Destiny, because I know even if I lose, I'm still getting rewarded. I'm getting a couple of marks which help me towards getting a piece of armor or a gun or something that I want to buy. But I wonder about, if more games did this, would it be beneficial? Would it be bad? Is it giving in to weakness, or is it you know, we're just tired of, because I mean, like I said about, you know, co-op stuff, it, you know, co-op gaming is the future of what multiplayer is. It's, we're playing together to do something instead of, it's all of us playing against each other to kill each other. And then we don't like it when we lose, but it, it makes us more feel more it's more beneficial and creates a sense of togetherness with other gamers if we're doing something together, rather than the multiplayer stuff when we're just sort of killing each other for fun. And if there's no rewards, what's the point of doing it? Even, you know, for failure, which is, I say, which is why I don't quit doing the multiplayer stuff, because even though I do, as I said, even though I do lose, I'm getting a couple of points. It's not much of a problem. But I would like to see more games do this, but it depends on how your structure of the game is, how it would work before, you know, but trying to get it to work before it would, it all depends on the concept, really, on how your leveling up system works. I mean, because I say with Destiny, it is, it's a sort of MMORPG sort of game. I mean, you know, what you earn, it just only counts on yourself. So it's a tricky thing. I mean, because, you know, raid quitting is annoying and I hate doing it, but I do it. You know, I don't want to, but it's just, I get so pissed off with something, it's just best to sort of turn it off and then just walk away for a bit, which is good. But that's sort of stopped with the whole Destiny when you can get points for even losing. It's like, yeah, I can play and just finish the match. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Several times I was like, I'd be playing a match and we'd be down like 2,000 points. I mean, it was two matches, I think it was yesterday. One of them, we were losing by about 4,000 points. It was we were terrible. And trust, I was just doing it for the bounties. I wasn't that fast. I needed a couple of marks. And I wasn't that fast. And, you know, we were getting slaughtered left, right, and centre. But then there was like another, the match I played after, we lost by about 3,000 points. But I was more focused and had more fun with that one, because literally we were just, you know, just killing each other and having fun with it. And, you know, it wasn't something, it's hard to explain, because my perspective on how I was doing and everyone else was doing, it was like, yeah, we were fighting tooth and nail in the second match, but, you know, the first one we were just sort of getting slaughtered, but we, you know, I was having more fun with the second one because it was more of a challenge. But I don't know, it depends on the whole thing. I mean, it's not really, I mean, it was rage quitting thing isn't a real topic as such. It's just sort of a thought I had with, you know, if other games are sort of focused, sort of based around how, you know, Destiny does multiplayer with the items that you can get, that sort of stuff, would we feel better about? I mean, stuff like Call of Duty, we're getting points and stuff anyway. But maybe that's what it is as well. There's less pressure with Destiny with the multiplayer, because, yeah, I mean, at the end of the match, yeah, you see how well you did, how many kills you got, how many deaths you got, how many assists. But there's no, to my knowledge, I've tried to look for it, but I can't find anything. If there is, there's no ranking. There's no, literally, like what Call of Duty does, it's like, yeah, you've, you know, your percentage of kills or deaths and that sort of stuff. Too much stats, too much information. I mean, yes, it's great for all those arsehole Major League gamer people. But yeah, I mean, for people playing Destiny, we're just having fun with it, enjoying ourselves. But yeah, it's rage quitting is an annoying thing, and I sort of hope that in the future more people and developers will make what happens in Destiny their sort of thing as well. The fact that we do get rewarded for failure, but it takes the edge off. It takes us, you know, it makes us calmer as people. It's, you know, I have no, you know, if I lose in Destiny, I'm like, oh, shit, you know, because, I mean, I'm getting pissed off with everyone using a fucking shotgun, because they are still so overpowered. But I sort of think, doesn't matter, I'm still getting two marks at the end of this, I just play another game, or I leave the group and then find another group and do that. And it's just, you know, there's other stuff that you can do to enjoy yourself with the game, you know, while you know, there's other modes you can do. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I've smashed up enough stuff, TVs, controllers, consoles, and whatever in my lifetime, that I'm like, yeah, I'm sort of done with, you know, throwing my toys out the pram and having a tantrum. And I don't know, maybe, but I'd like to think it's because we're getting rewarded for failure, which is a bad thing, but it's also a good thing, because, do you want to say, at the end of the day, I'm getting marks which I can use to improve my character. Whereas otherwise, you know, I mean, I know Hammy's talked about this rewards of failure stuff, you know, getting a trophy for coming last in the spelling bee. It's like, okay, whatever, but there's a dictionary that you can use to spell words and shit. But, you know, it's like my grammar's any better. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just sort of, I like what it does. And it keeps me playing. I say, I am getting bored of Destiny, even though I am near enough finished what I need to do with my character. I just sort of want to move on, but keep playing. And, you know, the rage quitting stuff, I don't feel the benefit of it. It's makes me not calmer, because I do get pissed off that I get getting shot with shotguns, or that sun thing that I think the hunters do, that one shit, the golden gun stuff. It's fucking annoying. But to be honest, I can say that, you know, people who get hit by my the ground pound thing, or whatever the fuck that's called, probably feel the exact same way as well. But yeah, that's pretty much it. It's literally, it's a quick little anecdote sort of thought-provoking thing. You know, I would like to see more, sort of. If it's not just me that feels this way about this game, or if I feel the same about another one, that I, you know, even with this no reward, it'd probably be just me calming down from all the rage quitting stuff, or it's just, you know, I don't feel it. It's probably just because we need some sort of reward for, you know, not doing well, but it keeps us playing. That's the whole point. You know, there needs to be more stuff, and it's weird. It's a weird thing to talk about, I know, and probably not the best thing to talk about. But yeah, I'll go into some topics and stuff, because I have a whole bunch of stuff. I'm like halfway through the first part now, but yeah, I've got bunches of information and stuff. I'll go for all my Destiny stuff first, because I know I like to talk about Destiny a lot. I'll do the Destiny stuff before the break, and then afterwards I'll come back, and I've got a whole bunch of stuff. You know, people leaving, people going, and threats made, and you know, I've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, which I, you know, I do want to talk about. But yeah, this is from Eurogamer. It's a Destiny leak reveals raid gear for upcoming DLC. A fresh leak of the Destiny details data mined from the gamer servers. Game servers have revealed a new set of raid gear to be included in December's The Dark Below DLC. The new set of armor posted to Destiny DB and spotted by Reddit includes a full set of armor for each of the three classes. Items described descriptions tie into the Crota's end raid and events that was released last revealed last month in an earlier DLC leak. Intriguingly, mission data from the Crota's end event stats states that it's more difficult hard mode version is designed for players at level 32. Level at 32, the current cap is 30, suggesting that at least a small increase will be included within the upcoming DLC, which I like. So basically, maybe this armor that we are going to get will push us over 30. It will probably be some sort of exotic armor. Sort of, you know, guessing from the fact that what I said earlier about you need at least two pieces of exotic to get you over to get you to 30. I mean, this increase does happen. If you have all pieces of exotic armor, what will that do for your character as soon as this DLC's released? You get your 32. It might push you further. Don't know. You know, it's still too early. I mean, December's a couple of months away, and this DLC is all rumor and speculation at the moment. Another new feature, a higher level strike playlist designed for those at level 28 have also been spotted, which would be good, to be honest. I mean, I like the strikes, but they are so boring. I mean, there's only like eight you can do. I think, hang on, two, four, like six. And I have started doing the strikes, the Viper strikes, the fourth one on the line, the harder one. Yeah, I've started doing them, nailing them out, and I'm like, yep, okay, but the rewards aren't that. That's what's pissing me off. It's like, because I have legendary gear and I have legendary weapons and one exotic super heavy machine gun. But yes, what else I'm using is just not enough to, you know, all the items that I'm finding, it's like, okay, this is nice. I'm just dismantling. I've hit the level cap with the money, with the glimmer. It was like 25,000. I hit that the other day, and literally I couldn't get any more. So I had to buy a bunch of shitty cryptograph items and then sell a whole lot of them just to get rid of the money that I had. And then once I, you know, got all those items, dismantled them, and I got a bunch more glimmer. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice because I understand the fact that there's a certain amount of usage you can get from glimmer, but once you've where you got to with the characters that, you know, we're using now, like, you know, I am with at the end game stuff, you know, with I'm at 27, about to hit 28. I want to use my glimmer for something else. I mean, yes, you can use it to upgrade your armor when it needs it, but at the end of the day, there is no real need for so much glimmer. You can get a lot of glimmer from throughout the whole game, but it would be nice if some sort of other shop opened up where you could exchange 20,000 glimmer for, I don't know, a strange coin or something, two strange coins or something like that. But I don't know, it's something to be brought up to the developers and stuff. We need something to do with the money once you've maxed out your wallet, or, you know, increase the wallet size to 50,000. That'd be lovely. But I don't know, I'll carry on reading this article. Other new items to tie into the new trial event type. Completing the Trials of Osiris is linked to a new legendary hand cannon emblem and this a legendary upgradable sparrow. That's cool. I mean, I like the sparrow I've got, but it would be nice to have, you know, once I do get enough marks and stuff, I can get myself a rare one, and then, you know, hopefully find a legendary ball bag. What the fuck is wrong with my mouth? That's gonna be turning into a sound clip. The game's December. What the fuck? Yeah, the game's December. The Dark Below DLC. Way to write, you dumbasses. Will be followed by another expansion, House of Wolves, due to launch next year. A future map. A number of future map areas have been spotted and also already sneakily accessible. Yeah, yes, but Bungie have come out and said, yeah, go and have a look at the areas. There's nothing there, but you can go and see them. And it's literally, yeah, there's nothing there. Go and see them and, yeah, just carry on playing fucking Destiny. Do, you know, get some more Crucible marks, rank up all your levels and factions and, you know, do some in-game stuff. Don't worry about areas where there's nothing there and, you know. Ah, jeez. But I mean, this just looking at this expansion gear, that the Crota's end raid gear, looks nice. Well, it sounds nice. But, you know, stuff to come out soon. But, you know, December, it'll be here and we'll have access to it. I mean, you know, I want to do the Vault of Glass. I want to do that sort of, you know, raid stuff. I want to get some of this better art weapons and. That's what I'm after. I'm after better weapons. I mean, I love the assault rifle I've got now. I mean, it needs a bigger clip. I'd love a, you know, 30 rounds or 35, something like that. But it's, you know, the damage it does is pretty nice. I just want more from it, to be honest. But yeah, let's find some more Destiny stuff and clear all this stuff out the way. Okay, here we go. This is from CVG. Destiny drove the biggest month in the US PlayStation Store history in September. Bungie shooter breaks PSN sales records, becomes most played PlayStation 4 title. Which isn't saying much since the fact that PlayStation 4 has only been out for a year, and there isn't really anything worth picking up on a PlayStation 4. And even though I have one, Destiny and Watch Dogs and a bunch of stuff I played, it's not really a total grabber. I mean, people are getting bored of Destiny. I mean, I see on Bungie pages and Facebook forums and all stuff, they're all just slating on Destiny. And even though it's a really fun game, there's not much to do because the pace is fast enough for some of the things, but not fast enough when it comes to other. But yeah, I will carry on reading this article. PlayStation's US arm has declared September the biggest month in PlayStation Store history. Driven by record-breaking sales of Activision's Destiny. Sony, which partnered with Activision to align Destiny more closely to the PlayStation 4 than other platforms, says the game broke several records for the digital store, setting new benchmarks for the most pre-orders, day one sales, and week one sales. So that's pretty cool, but I'll carry on reading. The game has gone on to become the most played game on PlayStation 4 with 125 million hours of gameplay, according to Activision's figures. That is apparently five times the number of hours clocked by the second most played PlayStation 4 game, which I would love to know what that is, to be honest. Sony has declared PlayStation 4 the number one platform worldwide for Destiny based on the units sold as of October 4th of this year, although no figures were included in the announcement. The PlayStation 4 enjoyed its biggest month in 2014 for hardware sales, driven by the PlayStation 4 exclusive Destiny hardware bundle. The company said, again, without offering numbers, Destiny's launch also drove a spike in PlayStation Plus subscriptions, with new memberships increasing 115% from the week prior to the game's September 9th release. Nearly 2 months now it's going to be out. September 2014 was a record-breaking month for PlayStation digital business, thanks in large part to the success of Destiny. Commented Sony Network Entertainment International VP Eric Lempel. Last month's PlayStation Store revenue increased nearly 90% compared with September 2013. Working closely with Activision and Bungie, we wanted to make the launch of Destiny a special experience. For PlayStation fans, we're thrilled to see us highly engagement from PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3 owners. Tony Hsu, Vice President of Product Management at Activision, added, fans are diving deep into the game and playing incredible amounts of Destiny every day with PlayStation 4 as the leading platform. Well, yeah, no shit, because Xbox can't advertise the game, but, you know, I think Johnny Five from, My Time Now, he's playing it all the time and talks about it all the time on his show as well, which is good to hear. But, yeah, it's a really fun game. JJ from 360 and 420, he's playing this as well. Yeah, we're all having lots of fun with it. It's really good. Both Activision and the talented team at Bungie are listening carefully to consumer feedback and working on evolving the game. With multiple updates since launch, we're excited to see Destiny continue to develop and grow over time. That's good. I mean, I want to see it get better and better and do more and more for the players, but it's like I'm bored. I need new stuff. I mean, it's nice this expansion's coming out in December, but it's not too little too late, but it's just, I don't know, I want something else, really. And maybe it's because I just have been playing so much, I need something else to play. But I say, October now, November, all the main stuff's coming out. We have The Evil Within, which people are excited for and playing and enjoying, but some people I've spoke to aren't, so it's a mixed bag, it really is. Where was I? So I'm just trying to look through all my stuff here. What we got? Okay, yes. This little bit on Destiny should keep me going through to the break. It's sort of like the future. It's the Destiny of Destiny's future content. This is from IGN. For Bungie's fans that fell in love with Master Chief's plight in the Halo series, you should have noticed that Destiny feels a lot like Halo. I'll just sort of skip this because it goes on about Halo and basically stuff that they want to see basically expanded upon. Garage extension. This is a no-brainer, really. As it stands, the go-to vehicle, the speeder bike-looking Sparrow, is great for zipping from point A to point B, but not a whole lot else. Dedicated players can use it to flatten enemies, but the Sparrow is in serious need of a talent upgrade. Where there's limited access to spikes and interceptors, these armored vehicles merely scratch the surface when compared to what was on offer in the Halo series, which is true. I mean, I love the Sparrow. It's great. I mean, I look forward to upgrading it when I do get the rare and legendary and whatever ones. But yeah, it would be nice to have guns on the bloody thing. I mean, yes, the pikes are nice and the interceptors okay. I don't try to use it when I'm in the strike that I use it or the mission that I need to use it on. I just sort of miss out. But pike's nice, but I mean, the pike's the same as a speeder, as the Sparrow. It goes just as fast and it has guns. I mean, just give us a bloody thing with a gun on it. It'd be nice. Where was I? I lost my place now. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, Halo had go-to warthogs, heavily armed pelicans, powerful main battle tanks, and deadly falcons. And that was on the human side of things. The Covenant boasted even more vehicles, including available, always rideable ghosts, lethal banshees, and brutally effective wraiths. All of these vehicles were able to be commanded by the player at one point or another in the series, and all of them require different tactics to use effectively. While Destiny is in dire need of at least a few more militant vehicles, which is true because there's only like three, it already has a couple of enemy battle beasts we'd love to take for a spin. The Walker is the Fallen's version of a tank, and it takes a thrashing to bring down. No, it doesn't. I've done a whole bunch of on the Cosmodrome. I've been doing so many Fallen, because I'm after the Ascendant Energy and Ascendant Shards, which every other bastard gets, but I don't get to get. I don't understand what's going on with that. But yeah, literally, I've been doing those sort of public events with people, and that thing just goes down so damn quickly. Just, can we have like two in one battle? That'd be nice. It does plenty of damage, the tank does, but it would be nice if, there was more of them in one battle. Here we go. So why is there no reason? There's no reason why that couldn't be controllable in Destiny's future. Additionally, the Goliath, an epic Cabal hover tank, is perfectly positioned for the three-player motif that Bungie loves so much. Yeah, that's the big thing that you take down on the strikes. One to drive, hover, one fire the main cannon, one to control the machine guns, and one to fire the interceptor rockets. We'll all also just as gladly take charge of any additional militarized vehicles you want to throw in the game. Thanks, Bungie. Other stuff, talk about guns, lots of guns. We totally understand that there is three is a magical number that Bungie has embraced wholeheartedly in Destiny. The three-player fire team, three races, three classes is fine, but we really don't need to be restricted by the limited categories beneath the free weapon banners. It's cool to stick with a free hit primary, special heavy combo, but we'd prefer it for our Guardian's hands were a lot less xenophobic and capable of wielding alien weapons. As it stands, there are four primary categories. Three special weapon classes and two heavy weapon classes, all divided into non-very sci-fi corpse makers, with the exception of the fusion rifle. While we don't necessarily need to see plasma rifle, needler, beam rifle, a variant in Destiny, which we do, to be honest, so I don't really see any difference between like the scout rifle and the pulse rifle. I think they seem both exactly the same, to be honest. We're getting a lot of different guns classes. It's just that's the thing when it comes to the sort of guns. I mean, I say my assault rifle, it's nice. It has a great firepower and stopping power and impact, but I want a bigger clip. Maybe a higher rate of fire, which I don't think can get any higher, to be honest. Stuff like that. But I'll carry on reading. It says, this concept... I missed a bit. Yeah, here we go. It would be great to try a Fallen shank laser doodad, a Vex Minotaur explosive bebop, a Hive Wizard magical doohickey, and a Cabal Colossus long-range thingy. Those weapon working titles can be improved upon Bungie by the writers. Yeah, bullshit. This concept also presents the opportunity for Destiny to play even more like Halo. You don't want that. In a good way, it says, but hanging on to human weapons in Halo, necessarily hunting for supply drops, the reality was usually ran dry before encountering UNSC weapon caches, which in turn meant you were forced to equip with an array of Covenant weaponry, running the risk of finding a new best friend to gun to call Gladys. Okay. That was a great mechanic in Halo, and it would work in Destiny. Yeah, of course it would, but I'm like, I like the gun that I have, and there's plenty more. There's plenty of ammo drops when you get your gun. So, you take out enemies. The special weapon stuff's a bit tricky to find. The heavy weapon stuff's a bit tricky to find, but plenty of normal drops and special weapon drops. It goes. This is a Star Wars here. It says, so with every Halo game that was released, the possibility interstellar battles in the space-based franchise loomed large, but never happened. That is until Bungie's poignant farewell to the Halo series and a short-lived but awesome Long Night of Solace mission in Halo Reach. Players got to pilot a YSS 1000 Sabre and take the flight take the fight to the Covenant in Second Heaven, which I actually did like when I did play that in Halo Reach. It was really fun. Silky Smooth controls were on the hands thanks to ex-Crimson Skies developer Sage Merrill, and the level screamed with potential for some sort of multiplayer mode, which I was actually hoping for. I mean, I need some sort of decent space-based combat thing to talk to, you know, to play about and play about with, you know. That'd be nice, some sort of space. I mean, you know, I know we're getting Star Wars Battlefront, but we got a while to wait for that to come out. Hopefully not, but you never know. Halo creative director Marcus Leto admitted that there was early concepts for multiplayer space battles in Reach, but it was obviously never saw the light of day. Considering spaceships in Destiny are merely an aesthetic way of facilitating travel between two points, it's a no-brainer that it would be more active role in the future. After all, when you first found your hunk of junk in Destiny, it was minus a warp drive, so there's no reason why a range upgrade couldn't be getting an augmentation, armament upgrade. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't get the point of, you know, changing ships purely as a cosmetic thing. Make it more aesthetic, you know, give it something to do with the bloody stuff. But yeah, they go on about the story and other stuff like that. Destiny, it needs a story. Because, I mean, yes, I listened to some of the Bungie Destiny podcast. And I'm like, yeah, they go on about the Grimoire cards, but I'm not going to... I could be sitting here playing Destiny, having a lot of fun, and then doing, you know, some multiplayer stuff or strikes or whatever. And I'm like, why are we doing this? It's like, yes, you know, we get told a little bit before each of the missions sometimes, but it's just... I don't want to turn the game off, have to go onto the website to look up some cards. Why can't you tell me this in the game? It would make much more sense. But this one here is called Home Invasion. It says the stakes are always raised in any story when your home base is attacked. For Destiny, the tower is a place to grab and cash in bounties, convert engrams into things you probably don't need, and host impromptu dance parties. While you may not be particularly emotionally attached, the NPC shopfronts who tend to be more easily identified by their professions other than their names. Yeah, it's literally... to say name the cryptarch without googling him. It's like no one cares about these characters. It's like, yeah, I want to go and see the gunsmith. He's the gunsmith. He has guns. I go see the cryptarch because he has crypts. You know, he can decrypt my stuff. But I don't know. You'll likely discover you have an emotional attachment to the places in it if it's in flames. Yeah, I mean, you can't really destroy the last city because it's the last city. That's the whole point where we have the guys, because we're trying to defend the planet and defend this city, the last city where, you know, humans live, because the Fallen come down and killed everything. But despite the many safe zones of the respective Destiny locales, the tower is one of the places where the impossible to draw a weapon at this stage, it says, which creates a peace of mind that would be fantastic to have shattered. You know, for machinistic gameplay reasons and drama. You don't have to look into far into the Halo history to see how the fight to protect Earth acted as a core motivation to which every player could relate. That's the thing as well. So with Halo, you got that whole Earth was being attacked, but with Destiny, it's like, yeah, the Earth's being attacked. We are being pretty much exterminated, and you know. There's just, you know, there's stuff happening that's happened in Halo that's happening in Destiny right now. And I don't think Bungie wants to go down that path where they have to, you know, give us the same shit that we had before, you know. Let's have a look, see how much more there's on this. Oh, it's nearly finished anyway, I'll carry on reading. But yeah, it says, here we go. Yes, you were on the run to stop the Covenant from learning the location of Earth by Halo 2. The Covenant had found Earth, but retreated after a small scuffle. Halo 3 was all about fighting to protect Earth from a full-scale Covenant invasion. It stands to reason that the only bit of turf in Destiny that actually feels like it belongs to the Guardians is a place that will be threatened at some point during the 10-year Destiny life cycle. After all, we don't want to let the darkness destroy our trendy dance location. Outside of tweaks and updates and overhauls that players are incredibly vocal about for inclusion in Destiny, what specific... it's a question they're asking all the readers. But yeah, I mean, I want stuff to change with Destiny. I want more... You know, I want... I'm having to go over this because literally it was on the, when I talked about the future of Destiny and that episode scrambled on me and it didn't pan out properly. But yeah, I mean, I want something more to do with the sparrows. I want like my own place that I can decorate with whatever. You know, all these. I want. You know, I don't really. I know I said I don't want during the rage quit and stuff. I was talking about the rankings and stuff. I would like to know how many flags I've got of Overwatch or you know, Thingy of the Wolf and that sort of stuff. But you know, I want more to do with this game, and we're getting stuff at the moment, but. Yeah, it's not the best stuff in the world, to be honest. I mean, you know, I could go on and on about what I'd like to see and what I'd like to see not in the game, but I had to take a quick break and let's just try and set this up. But yeah, I mean, I am having tons of fun with, you know, what I am doing with Destiny, and it's fun. I am having tons of fun with it. I'm not, you know, complain that I'm saying not. I just want more out of it and more strikes and this sort of stuff. Just improvements, basically, on the whole thing in general. But yeah, I'm going to be taking a break now, and I will be back in a few minutes. Just you know, going away for a couple of seconds. But you can listen to these messages while I'm gone.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah, it's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo too. You remember?
Yeah, JJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling.
celebrating 15 years of ultra violence. Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined
Sean, did you write this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, I'm coming! And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. Mitch, I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Yep, as I sort of hinted at this, there was an incident involving Gabe Newell. Basically, he was threatened, and I'm going to read you about it, because I'm not too sure what happened exactly, so we'll take this little pleasure cruise together. Yesterday, Valve took the indie game Paranautical Activity off Steam, following a tweet in which the game's developer, Mike Manelbeck, said he would kill Gabe Newell. Today, Molbeck has resigned. The tweet, which Molbeck said was written in jest, followed a string of complaints about the game being incorrectly labelled as early access on Steam. His conclusions, which has since been deleted, says, I'm going to kill Gabe Newell, he is going to die. In a blog post published this afternoon, Molbeck said he had stepped down from Code Avaris, the studio behind Paranormal Activity, and sold his half of the company to his co-founder. Just give me one sec. Just looking at this game. Yeah, it looks pretty shitty. There we go, in this little speech here. It's got, I feel this is my responsibility to step down from Code Avaris completely so that the Steam has no reason to harbour any ill will towards the company. Molbeck wrote, he says, maybe even if we can't see Paranormal Activity restored, at least future Code Avaris games may be allowed onto the platform. Molbeck went on to apologise and lament his tendency to use Twitter to vent, which is the whole point of Twitter and social media. It's we vent, that's what we do. I don't like the willpower necessarily to be the face of a company, he said. If I do continue to work in games, I'll be as anonymous as one of 1,000 at some shitty corporation. Basically, it's a whole blog post full of this stuff. But yeah, I mean, I can understand why he did it. I'm sure, at the end of the day, I'm not too fussed because Gabe Newell was a fat cunt anyway. And I speak this as someone who would like Half-Life 3. Not because I want to play it, because I'm tired of all the fucking people saying, yes, we need Half-Life 3. And to be honest, yes, we do need Half-Life 3. But I mean, Valve is a piece of shit. They're a bunch of arseholes. There are so many games that people want that they want Valve to make, but Valve is too busy sitting on their arse doing fuck all. And you can understand this guy's, you can understand why he's comment. Have you seen Gabe Newell? I mean, I wouldn't have to worry about this guy killing him. A diabetes is going to fucking do that, because that guy's a big fat cunt. He really is. It's like, you know, if looks could kill, he'd look in the mirror and die himself. But yeah, I mean, understandable. I mean, Gabe Newell has nothing to do with what's going on. It's probably some fuck up by some tech head or something, because Gabe Newell's sitting in his office, stroking his pig and just counting his piles of money. He's just what an arsehole. But yeah, I'm sure it's give us Half-Life 3, do something. Valve is such a useless company, and people give them lots of credit. You know, Steam is a great device, and everyone else is copying it with Origin and half bunch of shit. I think Virgin's doing their own thing, and other people are doing all sorts of shit like streaming and stuff like that, and downloading games. But yeah, it's one big pain in the arse at the moment. But here we go, something different. A departure as such, some CVG. Jade Raymond departs Ubisoft. 10-year Ubisoft veteran to pursue new opportunities. Ubisoft Toronto's veteran managing director Jade Raymond has announced her departure from the company to pursue new opportunities. Yes, Raymond has worked at Ubisoft in various capacities for more than 10 years, producing the original Assassin's Creed and its sequel, and overlooking new projects at Ubisoft Montreal, including Watch Dogs. In 2010, the Ubisoft veteran took up the role of managing director for the new Toronto studio, which developed 2013's Splinter Cell Blacklist. Raymond is also on the board of the directors of the WIFTT, an organization dedicated to the advancement of women across film, television, screen-based and screen-based industries. Alexandre Parizeau, a founding team member of Ubisoft's Toronto studios, replaces Raymond as managing director. Jade Raymond said in a statement, she says, I spent 10 extraordinary years at Ubisoft, and I am proud to have been part of many of the best teams in the industry and make truly remarkable games. This is the hardest decision of my career, but the Toronto studio is strong and on a solid path. I'm confident now is a good time for me to transition leadership of the studio to Alex and to pursue my other ambitions and new opportunities. Stay tuned for more on what's next for me, but for now, I'd like to thank Ubisoft for partnership through the years. I wish them the best with all the next endeavors. Yeah, usual
blah, 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 I'm leaving, bullshit. Ubisoft Montreal CEO Yanis Melet added, on behalf of Ubisoft, I'd like to thank, blah, blah. Yeah, it's all the usual, you know, ass-kissing and stuff. But yeah, so she's leaving, which is probably going to be a downer in the office. There's probably a lot of damaged desks when she walks past and giant boners going off because she's a very attractive woman. But yeah, I mean, she's done a lot for Ubisoft. I mean, Assassin's Creed, one of my favourite game series at the moment. I'd like to know if she's leaving the games industry or she's going to be going to a different studio or, I don't know, managing director. I mean, that whole managing director stuff probably get experience for other managing roles. So, I don't know, she's probably going to have a manager somewhere else and disappear from, you know, public life in, you know, whatever capacity. But, you know, she's decided to leave. It's her own, you know, her own mind she's made up. So, it's a good, I guess, or bad, or, you know, we'll see what happens to all the Assassin's Creed stuff when she does go and, we'll wait and see. Let's find something interesting to talk to you about. Okay, let's have a look. Okie dokie, let's find something. Where was it? There was something I wanted to look at. There we go, yeah. Let's do some Pokemon stuff. I haven't talked about Pokemon like as a topic for a while. This article came out last week. It's one of the things I didn't get to. This is from Eurogamer. Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire will let you fly around, take to the skies and fly and freely fly around a Pokemon game's map for the first time. Flying itself is nothing new. You've been able to quickly swoop from one location to another since the series origins, but this is the first time you actually get to take off and explore the world from the air. Atop your Pokemon, you can perform loops and handbrake turns. Yes, because Pokemon have brakes. The new feature will unlock new areas, including hidden islands and mysterious mirage spots, which contain rare Pokemon and items. You'll also be able to take part in aerial Pokemon battles, which are very dull and boring. Literally, just get a Pikachu on a Pidgeot, you're fine. But you won't be able to climb aboard any Pokemon. You'll need one of the two legendary other critters, Mega Latios or Mega Latias, as well as the new sort ability. Around the game's midway point, you'll gain a flute to summon one of the pair to ride along on. Only one can be found in each game, although Nintendo will release a special Aeon ticket later this year so that you can gain access to the other, or you just buy both games. Which I plan to do, but not right away, because money is tight at the moment, and I need to get myself to Florida next year. But yes... So that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to flying around and a whole bunch of stuff. I say this new Pokemon game is going to be really good, and tons of fun. You know, I guess. let's do some more Pokemon stuff. There we go. I never do too much because I don't really want to bore people with my Pokemon stuff. This is from CBG. Pokemon Director would like a cool new version of Pokemon Snap. So would I, to be honest, because I love Pokemon Snap. It was amazing. Jinuichi Masuda responds to popular fan requests for the N64 Classic. Yes, Masuda discussed the possibilities of a remake in a recent interview with CVG. He says, for Pokemon Snap specifically, that wasn't originally developed by Game Freak, he said, indicating possibly licensing or development issues may have arisen from such a project. But Masuda admitted to being keen on the idea of modernizing the N64 game, as a player, I definitely want to play a new cool version of Pokemon Snap, but at the same time, I also think if it was just a remake with better graphics, I don't think I would be interested as a lot of people are imagining. I mean, remember, we got 60 Pokemon, so it wasn't very much that we got 60, 70 Pokemon, and now we have 719. And, you know, counting. If someone was to end up developing it, they'd have to come up with some cool idea how to really make a good game for the current generation. It's sort of like what I was saying about Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. If it was just a direct port, that would be kind of neat as well, but having new elements is definitely important, he added. For Masuda, it's simply a matter of limited resources. Players are always wanting cool new things, and obviously, it would be great if we had the resources to develop all these things. That can be difficult, he said. Pokemon Snap was originally released on the N64 back in 1999. A spin-off to the popular Game Boy RPG series, Pokemon Snap is an on-rails photography game that challenges players to snap shots of wild Pokemon in their natural environments, armed with nothing but a camera, apples as bait. The game featured a unique puzzle elements as players had to figure out how to manipulate events to make the reveal the most elusive of Pokemon. And it was a really fun game. It was really awesome. I had it on my N64 and I played it all the damn time. But yeah, and just, I was talking to some people about this when I saw this post. I'm like, well, I'd love this game, but I want it on the 3DS. Because you know, think about the augmented reality, you know, the cameras and stuff. It would be so much good to use on a 3DS, you know, something like that. But yeah, I mean, I'd buy it if it was on a 3DS, but I don't think it would be a console seller. Probably for I am a sort of diehard Pokemon fan, but I wouldn't buy it if it was on a Wii U because, yeah, I'm sure you could actually get the same benefit from it being on the Wii, but I don't see the point in buying a Wii U just for that one game. I mean, there is no real, apart from probably Mario Kart, there is probably no real one game that anyone should buy a Wii U for. It should be a collection, you know, because there's not much worth buying on the Wii, playing on the Wii U, unless it's a Mario title, really. Apart from that, there's nothing really worth, you know, doing at all. Let's go over some. Where were we? Yes, here we go. Dead Rising movie. There is one, supposedly. This is from Eurogamer. Dead Rising movie will star Rob Riggle as Frank West. Dead Rising movie, now dubbed Dead Rising Watchtower, will star actor and comedian Rob Riggle as Frank West. Legendary has announced. You may remember Riggle as the antagonist in 21 Jump Street, spoilers, but he has also been a character actor in a number of other projects like Saturday Night Live, Modern Family. This is obviously designed for the UK audience because, to be honest, I know who he is because I know who he is. But most people who don't will need to know. He's in Modern Family, The Hangover, 30 Rock, Arrested Development, Wilfred. You also know his face, if not his name. Other new additions to the cast include Harley Mortstein from Epic Meal Empire, Tusk, no idea. Keegan-Connor Tracy, Bates Motel, Once Upon a Time, no idea. But who that is, I know the shows. Alex Ponovich, This Means War, no idea what that show is either. Mortstein will play a menacing biker named Pyro. Tracy will assume the role of Jordan, a straight-laced journalist. And Ponovich will play Logan, the head of the biker gang that Pyro is in. Previously announced cast members include Jesse Metcalf, Megan Ori, Virginia Madsen, and Dennis Haysberg. As for what the film will be about, Legendary offered the following synopsis. Dead Rising Watchtower takes place during a large-scale zombie outbreak when a mandatory government vaccine fails to stop the infection from spreading. The four leads must evade infection while also pursuing the roots of epidemic, with all signs pointing to a government conspiracy. Politics, public paranoia, media courage play an important role in the story's narrative. Yeah, it's going to be okay, I guess, but I don't know. I want to see something good from this, but it's weird that we're getting so many of these game movies. I know the new Hitman movie that everyone's waiting for has been delayed. We don't need all these game movies. And it's Dead Rising, it's zombies and shit. What's the point of going to a movie? Why don't you just play the game? Yeah, have fun that way. But yeah, here we go. Tekken 7 arcade release date revealed. Tekken 7 will be rolling out in arcades in Japan from February 2015, according to information apparently acquired from a recent Bandai Namco autumn business meetings. The details of the fighting game's impending arcade release also appear on Japanese resource arcade game portal. The report shortly follows news that Tekken 7 entered local testing in Japan earlier this month, offering players a chance to test out new mechanics along with the arcade NetPlay system. Bandai Namco announced Tekken 7 and its new gen console release during fighting game tournament EVO 2014 in July. The latest iteration of the 3D fighting franchise uses Epic Games' Unreal Engine 4, yay. According to Tekken 7, games director Katsuhiro Harada, it will give the developer the chance to focus on making Tekken 7 the best possible game instead of creating a new engine. The game will include new fighters such as Catalina, a Latin American described as a sassy mouth talker who will be vocal in-game, and a male character by the name of Claudio. Harada revealed late last month that two new features are being developed for the title with a focus on returning to Tekken's true essence, which is good. Hopefully no more fucking street brawling bullshit that was happening. Also, after the hardcore player focused Tekken Tag Tournament 2, which I didn't buy, which I really wanted to. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Tekken 7. You know, I love Tekken. It's one of my favourite fighting game series. You know, that and the booby ones. Dead or Alive? Yeah, Dead or Alive. Dead or Alive is hard as hell, but yeah, it's fun as motherfuckers. Where are we going? Let's have a look. Okay, where is this? Oh, here we go. Yeah, Far Cry 4. There we go. Some stuff here from Far Cry 4. From IGN as well. Basic Far Cry 4 DLC includes Yetis, Prison Breaks, and PvP. Ubisoft has announced Far Cry 4 Season Pass and detailed some of the DLC the upcoming first-person shooter will get. The Season Pass costs £23.99, provides access to new single-player and co-op missions, including one that see you encounter Yetis and others that will have you break out of prisons. The full details of the Season Pass content is below, though it's unclear at this stage what DLC will be available without the pass. Probably nothing, I think. The syringe mission... Oh, hang on, sorry, I've just skipped a line there. No, I haven't. The syringe mission will be available from launch, sees you try to keep a powerful recipe from falling into the hands of pagan men. Of his forces, in order to protect... falling into the hands of pagan men's forces in order to protect the forces... I can make it bland. It's playable in either single player or co-op, while the escape from Durgesh prison mission is co-op only, as you control AJ or Herc in a bid to escape Yuma's prison, which actually sounds kind of fun. If I can find someone to play co-op with me, I would probably pick this season pass up because I'm a big fan of Far Cry 3. Never got to do any of the multiplayer co-op stuff, but would love to do it with this. The Herc Deluxe pack builds on the previously announced content of the limited edition, offering access to the Harpoon Gun and 5 missions, while Overrun has you control Rakshas or Golden Path in this PvP mode. Control a series of neutral locations across Kyrat's countryside to protect them from being overrun by your opponents. Sorry, I just scratched my nose. Finally, the Valley of the Yetis content sees AJ's helicopter crash on a Himalayan ridge. You have to explore to find tools. You need to upgrade your camp and survive an attack from the cultists when night closes in. Though venturing too far into the caves will see you encounter something much more dangerous than Idealist, single player and co-op are both supported. That sounds actually quite good, the Yeti stuff, the helicopter crash. But I don't know, we're looking at here a lot. We've got $23.99 for Far Cry 4 DLC, for the expansion and whatever. And I was looking at, Destiny is charging $34, another £10 on top of that. And that's the stuff that we don't really know what we're getting at the moment. That's stuff that literally we've got two bits. We've got the two expansions, but it's not really worth it, to be honest. But probably wait till they have a sale or something, to be honest. Yeah, that's what I do. Okay, let's have a look. I'm trying to find. Hang on, let's have a look up here. I'm trying to find some. There we go. Microsoft both focus stuff. This is from CVG. No Forza Horizon 2 DLC planned for Xbox 360. Forza Rewards benefits also only available in the Xbox One version. Microsoft has no plans to release the Forza 4 DLC. I hate it when they put the two thing twice. I was like, yeah, I just read that fucking shit. Both versions of the game recently launched with over 200 cars. But this week's Mobile One car pack introduces 6 new vehicles to the Xbox One edition. Forza Community Manager Brian Ekberg wrote on the game's official forums, this is the first monthly DLC pack for the Xbox One version of Forza Horizon 2, and we're excited to bring you more cars on a monthly basis. He says, we are currently planning to release DLC only for the Xbox One version of Forza Horizon 2. Also, Forza Rewards benefits are only available in the Xbox One version of Forza Horizon 2. This means that the Xbox 360 players will not receive Forza Rewards credits or cars. In addition, those in the 360 version of Forza Horizon 2 does not count towards your Forza Rewards tier level score. Only progress in the Xbox One version of Forza Horizon 2 will count towards your overall Forza score and level tier in Forza Rewards. Jesus Christ, what a mouthful. The open world racing sequel will build on Forza 5's engine by Playground Games for Xbox One and separately on the Forza Horizon engine by Sumo Digital for the 360. Yeah, so basically, if you're on the 360, you get no DLC. If you're on Xbox One, you get every damn thing, basically. It's one of those big, yeah, we want you to play it on a better system, so go and play it on a better Xbox One. Xbox One, Vine is now an Xbox One app, so you can have your 6 seconds of 6 seconds of fame. Popular video app Vine has launched on Xbox One. Microsoft has announced this marks the first time the app that allows you to make 6 second videos has been designed specifically for the big screen. Oh, what a waste this! It's just I use Vine once. I downloaded it once. I mean, I never made a video or watched anything. I sort of downloaded it and then sort of my phone broke or whatever. But the console version of Vine has different channels to browse, like art, music, dance, comedy, you know, plays you can curate. Additionally, you can use Snap feature to watch Vine picture in picture next to games if that's your tech bag. I don't understand. I don't use Vine, so I wouldn't have a fucking clue what this is. But yeah, Vine's available on Xbox One in pretty much every single country. Now you can enjoy your, 6 seconds of entertainment that will, make you famous for, whatever. But I don't know. More importantly, for Eurogamer, Killer Instinct Season 2 details emerge. A series of new details emerge from regarding Killer Instinct's second season, which is launching on Xbox One on the 15th of October, which has already happened. As a response to the Xbox News Wire, developer Iron Galaxy's follow-up Double Helix fighting game reboot will introduce 8 new characters in a revolving rotation of free-to-play fighters. The cast includes Killer Instinct cast members like TJ Combo and Maya, along with robot dinosaur Riptor and Man on Fire Cinder. There will also be new characters including an ancient Babylonian sorcerer, an avenging ghost, and a battle-hardened war golem. In addition to a complete unannounced fighter, beyond adding new fighters, Iron Galaxy is rebalancing the cast of Season 1, improving the interface to allow faster character selection and stat tracking, and adding a new progression system which allows players to level up individual characters and tailor their appearance. There will also be all new combo system that allows players to juggle their opponents in the air while allowing the victim to change, a chance to escape with the all new air breakers and air counter breakers. Furthermore, the second season will introduce a resolution bump from 720 to 900p, according to the Fighting Game Championship CEO Gaming's creator Alex Jabali on Twitter. Killer Instinct second season will launch with TJ Combo as a free playable character, while Maya will be available to buy for £4 and $5 and, €5. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I played a bit of Killer Instinct once in the arcade years and years ago when I was a little Smurf back in the day. But, yeah, I love Killer Instinct. It's fun. I don't know who I played as or what I was doing, but I was just, button bashing and having fun. Here we go. Yeah, Halo the Master Chief Collection has 20 GB day one patch to unlock multiplayer. Yes, fucking hell, that's a big old download. Halo the Master Chief Collection takes up so much room on its 45 GB Blu-ray disc that you'll need to download a 20 GB day one patch. Jesus, a patch for 20 gigs? Are you kidding me? Writing in a new blog on Halo Waypoints, developer 343 Industries acknowledged the large download size by but explained that had not wanted to cut corners to try and cram everything onto a single disc. In happier news, the game will now launch on the 11th of November in the UK, the same date as North America, and 3 days earlier than planned. Only France, Belgium, and Japan will now see the game launched later that week. From the start, our philosophy has always been to give the Halo fans the best possible experience and not compromise the quality or features of the collection. Executive producer Dan Abram wrote, the result is that Halo the Master Chief Collection will take almost up all of the usable space on a single Blu-ray, 45 gigabytes, and we also include a content update at launch, which is to be 20 gigabytes. Each of the campaigns will be playable. Each of the campaigns will be playable while you're downloading the day one patch, 433 continued. You'll be able to start playing the campaign and more as the content is installing, with some features and multiplayer content being added via the update. Yes, the update is large, but we weren't able to cut corners to save disk space. This ensures that you are getting every bit of Halo goodness that we can fit in. Our work is not done, however, as we continue to tweak and optimize the online experience to ensure a smooth multiplayer launch. This will continue right up until launch day. I guess that's good. So he said, if you've pre-ordered the game, you'll be able to auto-download the patch pre-release. That's cool, I guess. I have no idea what really is in this Master Chief Collection, but to be honest, I'm not the Halo fan that most people are, so, leave it to them. Let's go with some Nintendo stuff. The last bit of Nintendo news I think I have. New 3DS, Monster Hunter Storm Japanese charts. This is from CBG. FIFA 15 Drive Club also make top 10 debuts. Weekly 3DS sales came in at 263,000 units, according to data from retail monitor Media Create, which was published by NeoGAF. Established Famitsu data published on Wednesday suggests that new 3DS models accounted for more than 230,000 of the sales and in just 2 days of the availability. I mean, I want myself a new one of these new 3DSs because they look pretty cool. But to be honest, all I play is Pokemon on my 3DS anyway, so there isn't no real need unless my current Pikachu 3DS breaks, because I'm not going to play all my main stuff on my 2DS anyway. Meanwhile, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate sold almost 1.5 million copies in just 2 days to knock Super Smash Bros. For 3DS off the top of the software chart after 4 weeks at number one. The game is available standalone or as part of the new 3DS LL hardware bundle. Elsewhere, the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and Vita versions of FIFA 15 debuted at number 5, number 6, and number 12, respectively, while Drive Club entered at number 1. Number 7. I need my eyes tested. I really do. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in picking up Monster Hunter when it does come over here. It's one of those things about literally talking to a guy at work and he's nuts for Monster Hunter. And, I want to get into it as well, but to be honest, it's a bit tricky. Let's have a look. What else have I got to talk to you about? Let's have a look. Here we go, yeah. Resident Evil Revelations 2. May launch in February of 2015. This is from CVG. Release date listed on PlayStation Store, although Capcom calls it a placeholder. So, basically, it might. If it's ready in time, if not, it'll be delayed. Or basically, I'll just say, well, yeah, it was only a placeholder. It was never an actual date. But if it does come out, look for it in February. A North American PlayStation Store listing says that Revelations 2 is expected to be available in 125 days on February the 17th. Although Capcom says this is only a placeholder and the true date is still unconfirmed. But as I said, it's literally when they get it fixed and it's ready, then it'll be, you know, ready, basically. Officially planned for release across Europe and North America on PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One in early 2015. The survival horror spin-off takes place in an abandoned island detention facility and features two playable lead characters, Claire Redfield from Resident Evil 2 and Code Veronica, and Moira Burton, daughter of the series regular Barry Burton, who was in, like, what, three games? But, yeah, he's in all the books and stuff. Resident Evil Revelations 2, I need to find out if there's more Resident Evil books, because the ones I did read are actually pretty good. Resident Evil Revelations 2 will initially launch as a series of four episodic downloads rolled over as many weeks. Each episode will be available for basically €5.99. So basically it's going to be about £4.50 or, you know, $6, you know, American. As part of a season pass, which is going to be €24.99. Capcom plans to ship a retail disc-based version of the title after its download season is completed. The game was recently shown off in this 18th preview of the video. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I am, actually. I mean, I will buy the disc version. I'm not going to download it completely. I want to play it for it all at once. I don't want piecemeal handed to me. I mean, that's what I did with, like, The Walking Dead and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I waited until it was all out, and then I was like, okay, good. I've done one episode, now let's do the rest, because, you know, I don't like waiting for stuff, because I get distracted, and I sort of, you know, I'd rather go through it all together at once and not have to, you know, it's just, I don't know. Here's something I found interesting. Yeah, this might close out the show to me. This is quite a big article. This is from Eurogamer. It says, walking is the new shooting. How big budget games have slightly shifted their focus towards a narrative, which is good because, you know, we need more narrative in games these days, especially with the sort of games that we are getting these days. I mean, Destiny, it's just a shooter. There's no narrative to it, really. You know, Dinklage talks to you for a little bit, and that's about it. Narrative used to be a dirty word in video games. For a long time, their perception of the medium was that story, characters, theme, plot matured about as much as the script to a porno. Naturally, a slew of small studios have fought this notion time and time again in such successful breakout hits as Gone Home, The Stanley Parable, Dear Esther, 30 Flights of Loving, and most recently, The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, made by the director of Bulletstorm. Oh, cool. But that's old news. Of course, independent developers are pushing the limits of what the medium is capable of, as they're not beholden to publishers, and those more experimental curios have had a lot of success relative to their minuscule studio sizes. What's really interesting is that big budget blockbusters are adapting to this new way of thinking, and in many cases, they're doing it shockingly well. Right now, the biggest and boldest example I've seen. This is from the writer who's saying this, and that inspiration for writing this is, if I'm being honest, is the bewilderingly slowly opening of Alien Isolation. It takes 2 hours before the titular character creature even shows up. That's a long time. So what happens in those first 2 hours? A lot of walking, to be frank. There's a whole lot looking at the creative assembly's distinct recreation of the 70s retro sci-fi, where you occasionally pursue text logs, watch brief cutscenes, and flip levers. It's not terribly exciting stuff, but it's engrossingly and does a fine job at realizing this dismal blue-collar world and its thick atmospheric of the creeping dread. Sorry. Well, that's what happened in the original Alien movie. It's like you didn't see the alien until near the end of the movie because there was a facehugger thing, and then basically it was just them going about their lives on the ship. The first act of its source material was incredibly slow burn too, so it only makes sense to keep deliberate pacing in this interactive retread. Alien Isolation isn't the only blockbuster to sideline its traditional game mechanics for lengths of an end. Another example, concept being executed brilliantly, is the opening hours of The Last of Us. Yes, I agree with that. It takes 50 minutes or so until you have your first combat encounter. But that is the opening hour. But is that opening hour boring? Not at all. It sets up the characters, plot, and world. Many would argue that it's the best part of the game, as you familiarize yourself with the character. With the player character Joel and the digital society he inhabits. It's a splendid intro that makes subtle, intriguing details that stick with you as you progress into more stealthy action adventure that eventually becomes. This is about BioShock Infinite. Follows a similar pattern where its opening hour is largely devoid of combat, as you're slowly introduced to the wonderful sights and sounds of its nationalistic Dixieland society, and it's not so wonderfully over racism. Exploring its public markets, partaking in parlor games, and taking mental notes of the red herrings in a twisty sci-fi tale is enough to ensure that there's always something worth pondering, whether it's a particular brand on your hand or a barbershop quartet crooning to a period cover of a Beach Boys ballad. I'd like to toss out a nod to the Metro series for its decision to disarm the player for several sections where you do little to explore the subterranean watching folks work, play, argue over resources, interact with families, and bait you with the prostitutes gives you the impression of a living, breathing world, even if you can't interact with it. So that's just what I like. It's like, you know, there's people saying about, you know, games where there's like a door and you can't go through the door. It's just because there's a door there. But it's like, we want that interactivity, you know, because to say, even in games, you don't have to be... I mean, one of the things that drew me to the Final Fantasy VII, because it's one of my favourite Final Fantasies, the bit where you have to, right at the beginning, you have to sort of go to the market to get Aerith back from being kidnapped. Was it Aerith or Tifa? No, Tifa. Sorry, Tifa's been kidnapped by that gangster guy, and you have to like dress up as a woman. And it's literally, there's no fighting whatsoever. It's literally, you're going from shop to shop, doing bits and pieces, trying to fix your outfit. And it's like, It's kooky. It's fun, and it's a laugh. It breaks away from the fact that since the start of the game opened, you've been fighting, and now you're doing something that's not basically the norm for that type of game. It's all fun. It's a whole breakdown. But yeah, it says these more experimental sections of what are otherwise primarily action or stealth games aren't an entirely new sort of concept. But they're certainly increasing its popularity. It's been 16 years since Half-Life opened with a day in the life of a scientist arriving at the office, and a few big-budget games have attempted it this since. Or worse, they've tried to copy it with no understanding of how and why it worked. Slower doesn't actually mean better, and more story doesn't automatically mean smarter. When Doom 3 spent more than 5 minutes going to the demon's store... When Doom 3 spent more than 5 minutes getting into the Demon Slaughter and peppered its adventure with banal soldier logs, it didn't really enhance the experience in any significant way. Doom was never about a plot or characters, so why even bother pretending it is? To be blunt, text logs have no place in Doom. Chainsaws, however, do. Alien Isolation gets it, though. Even if it's the tale of corporate greed isn't quite interesting enough to justify how much is focused on it, still I appreciate the hell out of the developer, that's the creative assembly, for having the audacity to try it. It's probably one of the most experimental big-budget games I've ever played, alongside Azura's Wrath, of course, which is boldly hypothesized that people... could pay 40 quid for an 8-hour game that is 70% non-interactive. So let's, you know, you said about Metal Gear Solid as well. So let's not discount the multi-million dollar blockbuster so fast. It's just not it's not just small studios that are making quote unquote art, while large publishers are just pumping out the video game equivalent of Michael Bay movies, even if the 500 million Destiny's narrative is bollocks. For a long time, I feel great publishers were playing things increasingly safe as the indie movement only grew more experimental. But it's not. I'm not so cynical anymore. It's just that the small studios are publishing the medium's boundaries anymore, but the entire medium itself that's growing increasingly diverse. If you ask me, that's cause of celebration. And I agree. I agree. I mean, I want to see more. I mean, that's the thing. You throw us into, I mean, they say about The Last of Us, you put us into the role of a character and you throw us into their world. Unless, if it's a sort of slow start, then we want to experience what makes it, what being in part of their world is. I say, when it brings up Half-Life, I mean, I do remember the beginning bit. It's like, yeah, you're just going through the daily routine of being a scientist. Last of Us, you're basically, you know, two intros, I could say. I mean, the bit where you happens to your daughter happens, and you're sort of living your life, and because you basically play your daughter in the beginning of the game anyway, and then you basically take on the role of Joel. And it's like, well, you're living in this world. We want to know why it happened, and what's going on. But yeah, I mean, they say about Alien Isolation, the whole, I mean, I think I said about Alien Isolation last week. It's Alien, the movie, the game. That's all it is. Don't look to it to be anything else. It's literally you're being chased around this space station by an alien. That's the whole plot of the first fucking movie. And trust, this game's beginning to get negative reviews anyway. But yeah, I say, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Just because there's a game that has shooting in it and it's mainly a shooter doesn't mean you have to make it that main priority when you start the game. I mean, that's what I liked about, say, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. Yeah, I mean, the big start of the game, you start off as SOAP, and it's like training. You're training to be a soldier. You're going through the assault course. You're trying to get scores. It's literally, it doesn't throw you straight into the action because there's no story to tell at the beginning of the game. It's the story that comes later. You're just experiencing, God, I still can't even fucking say it, what it means to be that character, what that the world they live in. And that, you know, just because it is a shooter doesn't mean we can't do that sort of thing. I mean, certain things possibly, first person, third person, might have some sort of interactive benefit to it, might not, don't know. But people shouldn't be afraid to tell a story, but they have to understand the story they're trying to tell, why they want to tell it, and the whole reason why they're going about it. Say, you know, it says here, walking is the new shooting. Yeah, take some time to explain what's going on, the world, the character, the people around the character, what's life is like. You know, you don't have to throw us straight into the action, you know, unless it's like a military something, like, you know, Halo or Call of Duty, you know, not, you know, the new Call of Duty, it's not, you know, the good ones back in the day. But, you know, whatever. And I pretty much run out for time for this week. Thank you all for listening. But so don't forget, if you do want to interact with the show, you can Skype in anytime you want. It's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, you can join our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. If you want to join, like the Facebook page, it's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. It's @MLRGamerRadio. Don't forget iTunes 5-star reviews would be lovely. You know, let me know that you've read one and I'll read it out, you know, read your review on air. Don't forget as well, Partial Nerdity, I was on it this past week. You can follow them @partial_nerdity. And don't forget, if you do want to be on the show, give me a mate Bill a message @BC Crookie. Let you know you want to be a guest on the show. He's always looking for guests. It's a really good show. You have a lot of fun. He's a great host, and it's a really good show. Have a listen. But yeah, so coming up next, we have Alcohol by Alcohol by Volume with Kevin. Followed by My Time Now, which is off this week, so it'll be a replay of last week's, which was a really good show as well. And after that, we have Dutch and Royce finishing out the night. But yeah, I say I'm not too sure what my topic for next week is. I know I'll think about something. But yeah, thanks for everyone for listening. I am very fucking tired. I've been up all day, and I'm literally, as soon as I upload this, I'm going to go straight to sleep. So I look forward to this being uploaded and downloaded on your iTunes very shortly. Take care, people, and I'll speak to you again next week.
think fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
Well, my God, yeah, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.